That was Caravan from Stella's Adagio. The fourth band is Stereophonics. Make 'em laugh, make 'em cry, make 'em wait. With Make It On Your Own.
Trying to find. Buckle up, it's time to go to those places don't want to go. Nothing lasts forever.
I would like to report on the Northwest League at this time. It is a high A league, three levels below Major League Baseball. Three new series started on June 16th. Being down 7-0 in the top of fifth, the Vancouver Canadiens started their comeback trail against the Spokane Indians as they scored two runs, followed by another run in the sixth. But Spokane regained their seven-run cushion in the bottom half on Roynier Hernandez's three-run jack, his second of the night off Jack Nedrow, for his 10-3 lead over Vancouver. The Indians tacked on three more runs in the seventh for a 13-3 lead, but then the Canadiens resumed their attack in the top of eighth. After two runs to make it 13-5, Sam Shaw hit a three-run bomb, followed by Matt Scannell's three-run blast, both off Brian Perez, to complete an eight-run assault to close the gap to 13-11. But Alan Espinosa hit a two-run shot in the bottom half off Jay Schuler as Spokane bested Vancouver in a 15-11 slugfest as the Indians out-homered 4-2, out-hit the Canadiens 14-11, with both sides making an error each at Avista Stadium in Spokane Valley, Washington. The visitors' Hillsboro Hops jumped to a 7-0 lead in the first three innings, but the Everett Aqua Sox started their comeback trail in the fourth with one run, followed by two more runs in the bottom of fifth, another two runs in the sixth to make it 7-5. But the Hops pulled away in the eighth with two runs and tacked on three more runs in the ninth for a 12-5 thumping of the Aqua Sox, as Hillsboro outhit 16-11 and Everett made four or five errors at Everett Memorial in Everett, Washington. After being down 2-0 in the first, the Eugene Emeralds had a four-run rally in the third, capped off by Carlos Gutierrez's two-run drive off Francis Tuxedo, followed by a five-run barrage in the fourth for a 9-2 lead against the host Tri-City Dust Devils, and ultimately won 10-6, with the Emeralds out-hitting the Dust Devils 12-8, tied in home runs with one each, and Tri-City making all three errors at Gisa Stadium in Pasco, Washington. On June 17th, Vancouver and Spokane had a back-and-forth affair as the Canadiens grabbed a 3-2 lead in the top of fourth with two solo home runs started by Peyton Williams and capped off by Eric Snow, both off LeBaron Johnson Jr., but the Indians tied a game at 3 in the fifth on Jacob Hindenlider's solo shot off Johnny King. Vancouver regained their one-run lead in the eighth on Sam Shaw's solo drive off Fisher Jamison, but Jacob Hindenlider tied a game in the ninth with a one-run single off Jonathan Todd, and Jack O'Dowd hit a game-ending single in the tenth for the Indians off Carson Myers, as Spokane walked off Vancouver 5-4 in the extras as the Indians out-hit the Canadiens 8-5 despite being out-homered 3-1 and made a lone error. Being down 3-0 to Everett, Hillsboro scored a run in each of the top of the fourth, fifth, where Jose Mejia hit a solo shot off Jack Meyer to cut the deficit to 3-2. But Johnny Farmello of the Aqua Sox hit a two-run shot in the sixth for a 5-2 lead off Teofilo Mendes and offset the Hops' one run in the seventh as Everett bested Hillsboro 5-3 despite getting out-hit 9-8 with a 1-1 tie in home runs and made all three errors. And Tri-City blanked Eugene 2-0 as Jake Monroe's solo drive off Tyler Switalski in the sixth was the game winner, as the Dust Devils tacked on one more run in the bottom of eighth and outhit the Emeralds 8-4, with the latter making two or three errors. On June 18th, Vancouver and Spokane had a slugfest as the Canadiens tied a game of four in the top of third on Tucker Thomas's solo shot off Eugenio Herrera, but Spokane scored three runs in the bottom half, started by Tommy Hoffey's two-run drive, the third home run surrendered by Dylan Watts. After a run in the fifth, the Canadiens scored three runs in the sixth for an 8-7 lead, started by Eric Snow's solo drive off Justin Lawyer, capped off by Edward Durant's two-run single off the Indians' Austin Emmener. After Spokane scored two runs in the bottom half for a 9-8 lead, Vancouver busted out for a five-run barrage in the seventh, capped off by Tucker Thomas' three-run jack for a 13-10 barn burner as the Canadiens outhit the Indians 18-12 with a 3-all tie in home runs. Hillsborough hopped all over Everett 11-4 as the Hawks inflicted a seven-run assault in the top of first, highlighted by Kenny Castillo's two-run double for a 5-0 lead, and capped off by Jake Josepha's two-run shot, both off Chase Santala, followed by two more runs in the second as the Hawks outhit the Aqua Sox 14-11 but were out-homered 2-1, with the latter making the lone error. And Tri-City blinded Eugene 11-4 as the Dust Devils overcame a 2-1 lead with a 4-run rally in the bottom of third and jumped to an 8-1 lead in the fourth on Randy DeJesus' 3-run jack off Luis De La Torre as Tri-City outhit Eugene 9-7 but were out-homered 2-1 with both sides making an error each. On June 19th, Hillsborough thumped Everett 11-3 highlighted by the Hawks' two 4-run rallies, the first in the top of fourth and another in the top of ninth, capped off by Kason Cunningham's 3-run jack off Gabriel Sosa as the Hawks outhit the Aqua Sox 13-7, who out-homered 2-1 and made 4 of 5 errors. After being down 4-0 to Eugene in the third, Tri-City scored 3 runs in the bottom of 6, tied a game in the seventh on Juan Flores' solo shot off Liam Simon, and Flores hit the game-ending home run in the bottom of ninth off Jeromy Maldonado as the Dust Devils walked off the Emeralds 5-4 with an 8-all tie-in hits, and the Hoes made 2 of 3 errors. Vancouver jumped to a 5-3 lead on Spokane in the top of fourth on a Tucker Thomas 2-run double of Jordy Vargas, followed by a 4-run rally in the top of fifth, highlighted by Sam Shaw's 3-run bomb off Francis Rivera for a 9-5 lead. And the Canadians thumped the Indians 12-5 as Vancouver outhit Spokane 13-12, out homeward 2-1, with the Indians making the lone error. On June 20th, after being down 4-2 to Hillsborough in the top of fourth on Kenny Castillo's 2-run drive off Evan Truitt, Everett trimmed the deficit 2-1 in the sixth on Felin Celeste's solo home run off Brian Curley, and Anthony D'Onofrio hit the game-ending 2-run home run in the bottom of ninth, also off Brian Curley, as the Aqua Sox walked off the Hawks 5-4. With Everett out-hitting Hillsborough 9-7 and out-homering 2-1. After being down 2-0 to Eugene in the 7th, Tri-City scored a run in the bottom half, and Capri Ortiz hit the game-ending 2-run drive off Matt Dunaway, and the Dust Devils walked off the Emeralds 3-2, despite getting out-hit 8-5, with the visitors making both errors. Where was I? Let's see. I just want to see what the date I was. Sorry, today is a really rough it is June 20th. Okay. And Vancouver and Spokane had a back-and-forth affair once again as the Canadiens went up 7-6 in the top of 7th on Tucker Thomas' solo drive off Hunter Mann, but the Indians tied a game in the 9th on Roynier Hernandez' one-run single off Jay Schuler to force extras. While Vancouver regained their one-run lead in the top of 10th on Jacob Sharp's one-run single off Spokane's Nathan Bosick, John O'Dowd hit the game-winning 2-run home run in the bottom half, his second of the night off Jabe Schuler, as the Indians walked up the Canadiens 9-8 in 10 innings, as both were tied in hits, out-homered 4-3, and made a lone error. Let me look at the score. Just a minute. Sorry about this. As both were tied in hits with 11 and The host made one error, the lone error. Three games are on tap today. Vancouver contingent in Spokane Valley at 105, Hillsboro renews in Everett at 405, and Eugene resumes in Pasco against Tri-City at 705. All times are Pacific.
Hey, this is Anuki, your Faculty of Environment representative, here to let you know what the SFSS is. The SFSS is a student union that is student-led, and it represents and advocates for the interests of the 26,000 undergraduate students at SFU. We are a non-for-profit support network and a voice at SFU, which provides services like the UPass and health and dental. We also provide support to make your student life better. You can reach the SFSS on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or by emailing us. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
Here are the first half and second half standings for the Northwest League. The first half, I believe, ended on June 18th. The Eugene Emeralds won the first half with a runaway 42-24 record. The Tri-City, second, 35-31. The Everett Aqua Sox, 33-33. Hillsboro, fourth, 32-34. Spokane, fifth, 29-37. And Vancouver, last, at 27-39. The second half started on June 19th, from what I understand. The Tri-City Dust Devils, an affiliate for the Los Angeles Angels, are first at 2-0. The Everett Aqua Sox, an affiliate for the Seattle Mariners, are second at 1-1. The Hillsboro Hawks are also 1-1 as an affiliate for the Seattle Mariners, along with the Spokane Indians, an affiliate for the Colorado Rockies, and the Vancouver Canadiens, an affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays. The Eugene Emeralds, an affiliate for the San Francisco Giants, and the runaway first division winner, are currently last at 0-2 in the second half.
For 40 years, the Simon Fraser Public Interest Research Group, aka SFPIRG, has been helping students build communities at SFU. Campus organizations like Out on Campus and Embark developed Out of Action groups at SFPIRG. Action groups are one of the ways that student activists can take action for change. Visit us at www.sfpirg.ca. That's www.sfpirg.ca to learn more about starting your own action group today.
I'd like to provide updates for the SFU Red Leafs hockey at this time. On June 16th, the SFU hockey website announced the recruitment of Dylan Nazaritz, a right-shooting forward who stands at 6 feet 3 inches or 190.5 centimeters and weighs 198 pounds or 90 kilograms. After two seasons in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, where he split between La Ronge, Melfort, and Humboldt, Nazaritz played the last season with the Richmond Sockeyes, who finished 44-5 in the Pacific Junior Hockey League, where he pumped in 43 goals and tallied 39 assists for 82 points in just 49 games. Now to the Western Lacrosse Association. It is a Senior A box lacrosse amateur league sanctioned by the Canadian Lacrosse Association, with many of its players competing in the National Lacrosse League, which is spread throughout North America in winters. On June 17th, the Langley Thunder edged the Maple Ridge Barrage 9-8 at Langley Event Center, as Dante Kula scored at 8:37 in OT on Jack Kask, who was torched for 9 goals on 38 shots, while his counterpart, Frank Sigliano, made 51 saves on 59 shots for the first start, followed by Dante Cardas with 4 goals, the last one being the game winner for the Thunder, plus an assist for the second start, while Peyton Cormier led the Barrage with 3 goals, 3 assists in the losing effort for the third start. On June 18th, the visitors, Victoria Shamrocks, slaughtered the New West Salmon Bellies 14-2 at Queen's Park Arena, as Victoria pumped in 8 goals in the third, led by Chris Oglieri with 41 saves on 43 shots for the first start, Marshall King with 2 goals, 6 assists for the second start, and Luke Pilcher with 2 goals, 2 assists for the third, while New West backstop Ashton LeClaire surrendered 14 goals on 56 shots. On June 19th, the Nanaimo Timbermen bested the host Burnaby Lakers 10-8 at Bill Copeland Sports Center, led by Noah Manning with 4 goals, 3 assists for the first star, Thomas Bellis with 3 goals, 3 assists in the losing effort for the second star, and Matt Boas with a goal, 4 assists for the third star in the win. On June 20th, Nanaimo frightened Langley in a 14-10 barn burner at Frank Kearney Arena. Led by Kobe Bowman, despite 10 goals allowed on 54 shots for the first star, Jeremy Woodrick with 3 goals for the second star, and Jake Gobert with 2 goals, Anastas in the losing effort for the third star, as Frank Sigliano was torched for 14 goals on 58 shots. There is one game on tap tonight as Maple Ridge hosts Victoria at Planet Ice, Camneely Arena. The ball drop is at 5 p.m.
Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Parminder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something to warm yourself and lift your spirits, Renaissance Cafe is the place to be. Featuring fair trade espresso beverages and brewed coffee, Renaissance Coffee is open Monday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Well, how do you get up and go?
I'd like to provide the latest on the Surrey Police transition, the largest police transition in Canadian history at this time. On June 17th, the Surrey Police announced that it will hire an independent accounting firm for an independent review of the Surrey Police Service for its 2027 budget process, as the SPS actually spent $65 million less than budgeted in 2024 and 2025, per Surrey Police Board news release. Later on June 17th, in the latest Surrey Police Board meeting, where the new chair, Perm Jawanda, was appointed, it became an absolute gong show as concerned residents confronted the Surrey Police Board over the firing of the first chief, Norm Lipinski, as Rob Stutt, a former Surrey RCMP officer, currently the SPB acting chair, called for a recess lasting over 10 minutes. However, after the meeting resumed, the Surrey Police Board unanimously passed a motion to limit the police chief's public speech, after which the Surrey Police Union President, Ryan Burick, confronted Rob Stutt, the acting board chairman, by saying, quote, "Officers can effectively police the city under a political crowd. Officer can't effectively police the city under a political cloud, with the transition politicized from the beginning. City cutting the SPS budget by $47 million," end quote. Burick also expressed concerns of politics. Burick also expressed concerns of politics increasingly getting into the board as, quote, "Chief Norm Lipinski being fired without cause, two members resigning within days, passing a motion that significantly limits what the chief constable can say publicly, and our members want politics out of policing," end quote. According to Tom Sutterick of Surrey Now Leader, the Surrey Police Board's motion to limit what the chief can say publicly has drawn widespread criticism, including from mayoral candidates who attended the Surrey Police Board meeting, including namely Linda Annis, Mike Starchuk, and Troy Van Villette. The last mayor, Doug McCallum, accused the current mayor, Brenda Locke, on inducing the board's gag order on the chief, which she denied, quote, "as she is not part of the board," end quote, according to Martin McMahon of CTV Vancouver, as gang shootings and extortions have particularly hit Surrey hard.
Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at embarksustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at embarksustain.
you for listening to episode 25 of the Steve Chong Show. In 2026, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 11, it's Julian Taylor's Jukebox. Now to the last tune before 11, it's Mogil's Noro Landing Us. Here is Len Conur.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, online at cjsf.ca, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC, home of McFog the dog.